You'll forgive me this morning. I am still on planet diocesan convention. I'm sure along with Umberto and Amber, who were part of our delegation, along with Donna Morales, who had family business to attend to today. We did have a wonderful time, the four of us, our delegation bonding together even further in worship and prayer and various things. And on Friday evening, Donna Morales was nominated by the parish, myself, to receive the Bishop Servant Ministry Award, which she did, and I have pictures. That's a wonderful thing. Donna does, as you know, many things around here and throughout the diocese as well, so it was very well deserved. I won't go through all of the things that we talked about. You certainly don't want to hear about budget matters and resolutions, and I'm still blurry-eyed from some of that, as I'm sure Umberto is too, amendments and other amendments and things like that. But overall, I thought the positive note from the convention was that we are called to serve the Lord Jesus, and I think that Bishop Susan did a fine job both in convening the convention and presiding over it. She was very relaxed. She seemed very much at ease, and that was a departure from, in terms of my experience, from the last two conventions where there was a lot of tension in the air without having a bishop and that sort of thing. So it was good to see somebody who felt confident and began to share her vision for the diocese. So I won't, again, go through the keynote address in detail or anything like that, but I will share some news. We're going to have a three-year program going forward to decide a vision for the diocese. And the first year will be 2020, excuse me, when the focus will be on discipleship. So in 2020, the focus of the diocese will be making disciples so that we can go out and share the good news of the gospel. The second year will be the year of service. And in the second year, 2021, we are going to have a visit from the presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who Bishop Susan referred to as the wedding preacher. Now, maybe some of you don't remember that reference, but Bishop Curry was the one who preached at the nuptials of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle in England, of course. And I think he kind of turned the establishment a bit on their head because he was rather vibrant and fuchsia, shall we say. He was out there. It was a good thing. So he did a revival at General Convention, and he's going to bring that here to the Diocese of San Diego in 2021. So that should be very exciting. And then the third year is a year of evangelism. So the first two are to prepare each of us to go out and share the good news. And we hear the word evangelism sometimes. You know, it's that E word we Episcopalians don't know what to do with. You know, how do we know how to go about doing that? And it's not an easy thing. But when you're a true disciple and follower of Christ, and you offer yourself in service to him and to his church, the next logical step, of course, is to share that good news and the joy of that love with others. And so that's kind of the bare bones sketch of what Bishop Susan spoke about. And we did more sticky notes as we did for the listening session and that sort of thing. But overall, all three of these, discipleship, service, and evangelism, are without question, without doubt, firmly rooted in the gospel to which we're called to follow. So thank you to Umberto, Amber, and Donna for being a part of a wonderful team that we shared together. So now, on to the gospel this morning. Yes, seven wives and seven brothers and all those sort of things. Well, firstly, the Sunday that we celebrated last week, All Saints Sunday, marks a turning point in the liturgical year. From Pentecost until All Saints Sunday, we are focusing in the gospel on Jesus' ministry and mission. And it's a time for us to understand and hear the gospel so that we can grow in that grace. We can grow in hearing our Lord's teachings and the miracles that he wrought and brought about and various things. Starting with All Saints Day, we begin to look at the final consummation of history, of time, if you will. Because in 2 weeks, the liturgical year will end on Christ the King Sunday, and then we start all over again the next Sunday in Advent. And so On All Saints Day, we hear, as I mentioned last week, of the wonderful communion of saints to which we belong and are a part of. We're part of that living body of those who, through heroic courage and heroic faith, showed themselves to be faithful to God. And they are the ones that call us forward to follow that very same path. This morning, we hear a pericope, that is broken down into two parts. The first part is known as the question of the Sadducees. So the Sadducees were those rulers in the temple, unlike the Pharisees. We had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in supernatural things. They believed in life beyond death. They believed in angels. They believed in miracles. They believed that God entered in and through his creation to do wonderful and amazing things. The Sadducees did not believe in any of those things. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in anything supernatural. And they certainly did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe that there was a life after death. I don't know exactly what they believe. I guess they believe, like a lot of people in the world believe, you go through life, you die, you're done, it's over. Kind of sad, really. But they, like the Pharisees, want to challenge Jesus. So they come up to him and they ask him this question. He says, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the wife and raise up children for his own," which is absolutely true. That was in the Levitical law. That was the requirement. That was what was prescribed by the law. But now they take that example and they push it to the extreme and the absurd. And so the brother dies, and then he takes this one for the wife, and the other one dies and takes this one for the wife, and by the time it's all said and done, she's been with seven brothers, and then she dies. So the whole thing seems rather, you know, bleak. And so then they say to him, "After the woman died in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are accounted worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." So in other words, in the resurrection, there is no need for marriage. What is the purpose of the institution of marriage as it was instituted? It was for the mutual benefit of care of husband and wife and for the procreation of children. That is why marriage was instituted by the Lord, by God himself. But in the resurrection, there's a whole nother existence. Relationship takes on a whole nother cast. There is no need for marriage. There is no need for children, because we are one with the Lord. We are one with God. We cast off the physical body, we take on a spiritual body, and we reside with God, who is alive and living, And we share that eternal life with him. So this life ends, we know that, right? And another life begins, that life that we have in Christ. That life that comes through being baptized with Christ in his death and being raised with him to new life, to eternal life in his resurrection. And so, to put a finer point on it, he goes on to say, "For they cannot die anymore. They cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of daughters of God, being sons and daughters of the resurrection." In other words, that family extends beyond this physical world into the world that is eternal. The temporal passes away, the eternal goes on and is sustained by that love of God in the power of the resurrection. And then Jesus, not being clever, but to turn the tables on him, says, "And of course, you remember what's also written in Scripture. You know the story about Moses and the bush, right? Great story, one of my favorite stories. Moses is wandering in the desert. God's purifying his heart so that he can use him as his servant to free the people that are in bondage in Egypt. And he's wandering down this path and he sees the burning bush. And he's amazed by the burning bush because it's burned, and I love it, and it's not consumed.
Sounds like an aloe type thing.
Could be. Anyway, Moses is actually attracted to this. He's very curious. And so he goes over to the bush, and God speaks to him from the bush. And he says to Moses, "Moses, take off your shoes. You are on holy ground." Now, Moses is afraid because Moses is not quite sure what to do, but he obeys God. And then he and God enter into this dialogue. And Moses finally has the courage to say to him, "Who are you? Who are you? What is your name?" And God says to him, "I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am God of the living, not of the dead." So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though they left the temporal world, God is saying they reside with me in that eternal world. And so Jesus uses this example to tell the, to show the Sadducees in their own language, in their own understanding, that God is not God of the dead, but of the living. And therefore, the resurrection is not only a concept or a construct, but a reality that we are called to in the Lord. And he finishes, "Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Sometimes I think we only think about the resurrection on Easter or during Eastertide, but the resurrection, again, is not a construct or a conception. It is a reality to which we are called to live in this life and in the life to come. And there is nothing that can separate us from that. As St. Paul says, "Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor heights, nor things to come, nor things past, nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." That love is grounded in the fact of the resurrection to which we are called to now and called to share in the future for all time and eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.